Psalm 23, and as mentioned before, providentially, as next Lord's Day, we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper, and we come to this verse, verse 5 of Psalm 23. I would like to direct our thinking to that, at least to some degree, and use this time to help us prepare over the coming week for the Lord's Supper. So let's turn there to Psalm 23. Now, last Lord's Day, as we turned our attention to Psalm 23, we saw a subtle shift, but it was a profound shift. Do you remember that? In the middle of Psalm 23, in verses 1 through 3, David talks about his shepherd. He does this, and he does this. But now in the center of the psalm, in verse 4 and following, he's no longer talking about his shepherd, but he's talking to his shepherd. And he does so in verse 4 in the center of the psalm, and it's significant because at that moment there in verse 4, as we saw last time, he is there in the valley of the shadow of death. And it's here, facing his greatest trial, facing the last great enemy, that he experiences that communion with the Lord to such a degree that he says, "You with me." And as we've noted, it's the central statement of Psalm 23, literally. There's 26 Hebrew words before this phrase, 26 Hebrew words after this phrase. But it's spiritually the center of this psalm as well. You with me. So close is the Lord, even here, especially here in the valley of the shadow of death, David speaks to him directly, as though he's standing right next to him, because you with me, he is with him. And he continues to speak directly to the Lord then in that same way in verse 5. So we're going to read the whole of the psalm, but our focus will be on that verse, verse 5. Let's pray first. Guide us, O God, as we turn now to your word by the working of the Holy Spirit, who inspired this word, that he would now illumine our hearts and our minds to understand and receive this word, so that in your light we may see light, that we would receive this word for what it is, God's word to his people, and that we would find truth and freedom and comfort and peace, conviction, direction, guidance. We ask that you would do your powerful work through the reading and preaching of your word tonight, and we thank you for the privilege down through the centuries that we can be here now sitting with your word in our hands, not fearing about persecution, opposition from without, but we can sit here and give attention to your word, and we pray that we would treasure that, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I invite you to stand, if you're able, then, for the reading this evening, Psalm 23. This is God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. You may be seated. So David's not speaking about his shepherd here. He's speaking to his shepherd. And what you have before you now in verse 5 is a scene of fellowship, blessed fellowship, a scene of tender intimacy, of communion. Communion centered upon a table. And I want to look at just three things this evening concerning that table. First of all, it's preparation. Then it's invitation. Finally, it's abundance. It's preparation, invitation, and abundance. And David draws our attention to the preparation of that table in the first phrase of verse 5. Look there again. You prepare a table before me. Now, throughout this psalm, David has identified himself as what? A sheep. He's identified himself as a sheep. And so the Lord is the shepherd. Now, while that says something about David, it's really saying much about the Lord, isn't it? He is a God who's bound himself to us. He's a God who's bound us to himself. He is a God who is a shepherd to us, who picks us up in his arms and carries us close to his heart. And as our shepherd, what we find here, he prepares a table for us. We're not the ones who prepare a table for him. We're not the ones asking him to be our guest. He prepares the table for us and invites us to be his guests. He is the host at this table, the host with the most. And you understand something of what that means. You don't make all the preparations. It means that he makes all the preparations. You don't invite him. He sends the invitations to us. He offers the welcome to us. He opens his home to us. He opens his home to you. And we'll see that especially in verse 6. He prepares the food to fill us. He pours the drink to quench our thirst. He sets the table before us. All the cost is his. All the benefit is ours. He is the host. What we have here is divine hospitality, if you will. Here he is bringing the poor, vile sinner into his house of wine. And of course, as our shepherd, he knows exactly the food we need. He knows the bread we need. He knows the cup from which we need to drink. And it's all been prepared by him for us. All prepared by him for you. And as we shall see in this verse, he's determined to be our host. Now, there's a word here in this first phrase that is easy to pass over. It's, you prepare a table before me. Such is the grace of our God. He not only prepares the table for us, and I hope you find it, but he prepares the table before me. He brings us to the table. And here is where it is so very important to remember that he is the shepherd and we are the sheep. Because it's not always for us to know the path nor the means by which he brings us to that table. It's for us simply to hear his voice, to know him, to follow him. To follow him even into those dark places, to follow him even into the valley of the shadow of death. To follow him even into the presence of our enemies. And that's exactly what David says here, doesn't he? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. There are times when our shepherd leads us into places where we are tossed about with many a conflict and many a doubt, fightings within, fears without. He leads us into those places. In this world, there are many who would do us harm. Think of those great enemies. There's the world, our own flesh, the devil himself. These are sworn enemies, and they never stop attacking. It is a relentless assault. And we, as David has reminded us throughout the psalm, we are sheep, defenseless sheep. And if left to ourselves, we can't hold our own even for a moment. And here I wanted to say we would be nothing but mutton, but I won't. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded that we are but sheep. We're not the shepherd. We're weak. He is strong. And sometimes in order to know that he is our refuge, he is our strength, he is our shepherd, he is a very present help, we need to be led into those places of trouble. Led into those places of trouble so that we would learn to be still and know that he is God. It's in those places that we learn how weak we really are and how strong he really is. It's here that we learn how foolish we are and how wise he is. It's here that we learn how faithless we can be and how faithful he is. It's here we learn once again how prone we are to wander, but how committed he is and how he will never let us go. It's here we learn how cold our love is and how loving he is. It's here we learn once again it's not our hold on him that keeps us safe, it's his hold on us. He prepares a table for us in the wilderness in the presence of our enemies. And even here, he proves himself to be our shepherd. And here, that becomes the sweetest thing to us, communion with him, you with me. We're so undeserving of that. And isn't it, once again, a testimony to his grace that our shepherd longs for this communion? He desires this communion far more than you do. He prepares the table, not us. He brings the table to us or brings us to the table. And if we love this place of grace, well, he loves it even more. And you see something of that now in the second phrase of this beautiful verse. We've looked at the preparation of the table. Now look at the invitation that is extended to this table. And that's really what David is after when he pens those words, "You anoint my head with oil." Now, in the ancient Near East, to anoint someone with oil this way was a special invitation, a special welcome to them. Now, yes, there were special anointings to office, such as the anointing of a prophet or a priest or a king. But here David seems to be landing much more on the use of anointing oil to welcome a guest. And the point here is very simply this: how our Lord welcomes us at his table. He not only sets the table, prepares the table before us, but he prepares a place for you, for me at this table. This is divine hospitality. And we sometimes say when we practice hospitality in our day that it's not so much about the food as it is about the fellowship, and especially if I'm preparing the food. But here at the Lord's table, it's about both. The food is exquisite. The fellowship is sweet. He says to us, "My child, you are welcome here." He anoints my head with oil. We marvel, and we ought to, at God's grace in that central statement of verse 4 again of the psalm, "You with me," that's grace. But now here is grace upon grace. Because he's not only with us, but he delights to have us with him. And you understand the difference. In love, he spreads the feast. In love, he draws us in. You see, he doesn't invite you to his table begrudgingly. "Oh, do we have to have them over again?" He doesn't invite you here with a chip on his shoulder. He doesn't invite you here because he wants to bring to your attention all the things that he has against you, and he's taking that opportunity. He doesn't call you here to dredge up your sins, to make you ashamed, to break the bruised reed, and to quench the smoking flax. He calls you to his table to tell you your sins, all your sins are forgiven. He's carried all your shame. He says, I bring you to my table to lift you up, to bind your wounds, to heal you, to restore you, to nourish you, to comfort you, to embrace you, to communicate to you that I love you. I brought you here to give you all that I have. I've brought you here to give you myself, he says. Never is there a host like this. Never is there a welcome, an invitation like this. "You will anoint my head with oil." Now, this oil with which he anoints us is certainly the oil of gladness. He's absolutely determined to give himself not only for his sheep, but to his sheep. And he bids you come. He'll either bring the table to you or you to the table. But you're going to get to his table that he's prepared for you. He is more committed to this communion with you than you are. There's a beautiful sense of welcome and invitation here. Octavius Winslow puts it wonderfully in a sermon on this text when he says, "Hesitate not to take your place at this banquet of love. Since all the merit that provided the feast, and all the worthiness that supplies your plea, and all the fitness that warrants your approach, is in him who prepared the table. Whatever may be the sword that has wounded you, the arrow that has pierced you, the cloud that is dark in your mind, or the sorrow that's broken your heart, lo, the loving shepherd stands prepared to pour the oil of gladness on your head, to give you the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He holds nothing back at this table. He gives everything. And that's the last thing David emphasizes here. We've looked at the preparation. We've looked at the invitation. David ends with the abundance. He holds nothing back at this table. He ends with the abundance of the table. My cup runs over. Our shepherd is one who provides all that we need for body and soul, for life and godliness. Our shepherd is one who turns to our good whatever adversity he sends us in this sad world. And he's able to do this because he is Almighty God. And he desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. The cup of provision that runs over, the cup of provision that he gives to you, is the cup full of blessing and of grace. The cup's not half empty. Maybe you're an optimist, but the cup's not even half full. It's running over. You can drink of this cup and it will never, never, never run dry. God gives and he gives and he gives, and his resources are never depleted. He is, Scripture says, good and the overflowing fountain of all good. His tender mercies are new every morning. His compassions fail not. His grace is sufficient. He brings us to his banqueting table, and his banner over us is love. Listen again to the words of Winslow. He says, "We come to the table weary and jaded, and we find sweet repose. We come sorrowful and depressed. We find joy and uplifting. We come languid and cold, and we retire with hearts burning within us as he communed with us by the way, revived, refreshed, invigorated by the spiritual nourishment thus received. We may go forth to service and to conflict, to duty and to suffering, as the bridegroom out of his chamber, as a giant refreshed with new wine." And there's a reason why. Because what does this table prepared for us proclaim to us? What is it saying? Well, it proclaims the gospel to us. It's a gospel table. It proclaims the God who's given everything we need, indeed the God who's given himself even to us. And you remember how on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took a cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying to them, "Drink of it, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant." But only moments later, as we have begun to delve into in John 18, he's outside in the darkness of the Garden of Gethsemane. And he vows before his Father in prayer. He says, "Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but thine be done." Now the cup to which Jesus was referring there in his prayer in the garden was the cup of suffering, the cup of God's wrath, the cup of condemnation, the cup of cursing. And that was the cup that you and I deserve. The cup so terrible that Jesus would even pray for its removal if possible. And even there, he subjected his will to that of his Father. And you know, the cup did not pass. And Jesus drank that cup. And he drank it dry, so that he might now give to us a cup of blessing. And a cup that's not only half full, a cup that's not only full, but a cup that is running over always, a cup that never runs dry. My cup runneth over. Here is blessing upon blessing upon blessing, grace upon grace upon grace. Because Jesus drank that cup that we may drink this cup. A cup in which there's no wrath. A cup in which there's no curse. A cup in which there is no condemnation. A cup that is given to us out of great love by our host. And so one more time from Octavius Winslow. He says, drink. Yes, drink deeply of this cup. Oh, my soul, are your sins so many and your guilt so great, your faith so weak, and your fear so strong that you hesitate pressing this overflowing cup of a full, finished, and free salvation to your lips? Then hesitate no longer. It is all for you. Receive it at your Savior's hand with no price in your own, exclaiming, by grace I am saved. I accept and drink it, not as a saint, but as a sinner. Not as worthy, but as hell deserving. Not as a lost sheep who of his own will and power found his way back to the flock, but as one in quest of whom the shepherd traveled in the cloudy and dark day over hill and dale, mountain and river, until he found and brought me with rejoicing to his fold. For I was a sheep going astray, but I'm now returned unto the shepherd and guardian of my soul, and my cup runs over. Remember, these are words that David speaks not about his shepherd, but words David speaks to his shepherd. He's speaking them to his shepherd as though he were sitting at the very table with him, receiving the cup, receiving the bread from his hand, being anointed with oil, rejoicing that because of the goodness and love of our shepherd, our cup runs over. Here is grace upon grace. Not only is he with us, but he delights to be with us. How sweet and awesome is the place, with Christ within the doors, while everlasting love displays the choicest of her stores. And may that place ever be sweet and awesome to you. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We thank you for who you are, and we thank you for all that you are for us, and especially that you are a shepherd to us. And we thank you for the table that you prepare for us, even in the presence of our enemies. We thank you for the welcome that you give to us in your presence, anointing our head with oil. We thank you that our cup truly does run over. We thank you that all of these promises of your word are yes and amen in the great shepherd who's laid down his life for the sheep, that one who is the bread of life and the fount of living water. And so may we truly find our all in all in him, and may we run forth in the strength of that food to serve you with joy and with gladness. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.